is happening, everyone? It is the latest edition of Phillies Today. Justin Morgenstein back with you again on this Friday morning. And how about the Fightins, man? How about them? By the way, I've watched that Bryson Stott home run video with no sound like probably about 200 times since Wednesday. It's just unbelievable stuff. The song, the reaction, the crowd, it's just incredible. And I mean, this is what Red October is. It's what it's all about. And man, it's just a really special feeling right now, a really special sense of pride of being a Phillies fan. And it's just something you don't see in many cities. And it's really cool what we've got going on right now. The Phils sweep the Marlins in the wild card round, beat them in two games, and go on to face the Atlanta Braves in the National League Division Series. I saw Jeff Passan of ESPN call it an SEC-like atmosphere. And I have to say, personally, being there for Game 2 on Wednesday night, it's the perfect way to describe it. It is a legitimate college football atmosphere for a baseball game, and you just don't see that often, if ever. And just the way this team has fully embraced the fans and are playing off them is really just something I can't say I've ever seen to this extent in my lifetime with any of my teams, and the ride will continue this weekend against the Atlanta Braves. So let's dive into it. I'm going to give you a little recap of this Marlins series, and then we'll get into a preview of what should easily, in my opinion, be the most exciting division series matchup in baseball. Phils Braves, it's really a baseball fan's dream, and we get it in the NLDS for the second year in a row. But first, let's talk about the wild card win against the Marlins. We'll start game one. Right away, the place is ready to explode out of the chute with Rhys Hoskins throwing out the first pitch before he heads down to Clearwater to continue his rehab. Nick Castellanos had a great quote about it after the game, talking about how emotional it was for the team to watch that, and that many of the players actually didn't know it was happening. So that was super cool. Awesome to see Rhys out there, and hopefully we see him back up here for the World Series if that ends up happening. So we will see. But getting to the game, you have Zach Wheeler going up against Jesus Luzardo for the Fish, and Wheeler was dominant. We'll start with him. He goes 6 2/3 of one run ball, 5 hits, 8 strikeouts, and no walks. I thought the key with him was he was getting ahead of almost every hitter. And when Zach Wheeler gets into a rhythm like that, it's just really hard to stop. The velocity looked great. He was sharp with his command. And something I just keep thinking about, we have to talk about this. Zach Wheeler is one of the best contracts in all of baseball. 5 years, $118 million before the 2020 season. And how do you hit free agency, you know, maybe 2 years later? He's getting the Gerrit Cole type money that he got that offseason, $300 million plus. And Wheeler has just been one of the most underrated, I'm going to say, athletes in Philadelphia as well. Just has consistently come up big in games where the Phillies need him most the last two postseasons. He's been dominant. He's been really good. I know he doesn't have the superstar persona of, say, a Bryce Harper, but at the same time, he is consistently producing when the Phillies need him most. So that was great to see. It was great to see Wheeler go out there and shove. And the only time I think I was getting to this game, the only time I think I was nervous was that first inning in game one when Dusty Wath inexplicably holds Kyle Schwarber on a boom fly ball, which he would have easily scored on. I know the right fielder, I think it was Jesus Sanchez, was on the run. He was off balance. Schwarber would have made it easily. The throw was way up the line. But the Phils do not score in that first inning. And right away, you're like, oh, I can't blow this type of opportunity. You got to put this team away. But that was the only time I think this series I was really slightly worried, because, you know, you give a team like that life in the beginning of a game where the crowd's hostile and it's their they're a young team. It's their first time playing in this environment. I didn't want to give them any sort of life, but Zach Wheeler put that to bed early. He shut them down and until the third inning when Alec Boehm is able to get the Phillies on the board after Johan Rojas works that awesome at bat where he gets, I think it was 9 pitches, and he gets the base hit to left field. That was awesome. And Boehmer gets the double down the line and scores him. Rewards Rob Thompson, who put him in the three hole against the lefties in this series. And I got to say, this was a Rob Thompson masterclass in the series. The lineup adjustments he made, the bullpen management was perfect. It was like last year. He was pressing all the right buttons. So good series from Topper for sure. But an inning later, Bryson Stott brings home a run on an RBI single. Castellanos gets thrown out as the second runner on the great throw from Jazz Chisholm, who that was pretty much the only thing he did all series. I don't think he got on base one time at the plate, so that was a positive as well. But Christian Pache, again, rewarding Rob Thompson for putting him in left field, comes through the next batter and gets the third run for the Phils. And then, you know, besides the Alvarado pass ball in the seventh inning where there was a guy on second and third when it was 3-1, he had a little bit of a sweat. But besides that, it was really never in doubt for the Phils. Jeff Hoffman gets a big out in the eighth as well. Yeah, Jeff Hoffman getting big outs. That's what he does. And Castellanos brings home an insurance run in the bottom of the inning, and the final is 4-1. And the Phils go up 1-0 in the series. So that was, you know, a pretty clean game from the Phils, aside from, you know, some of the base running mistakes. I know Bryce Harper ran right through Dusty Watson's sign at the end there, which was, you know, funny to see that Bryce had the awareness to get home on that. I know it wasn't the best night for Dusty, but it did not end up mattering in that one. So we'll quickly move to game two. Aaron Nola against another lefty for the Marlins, Braxton Garrett, again, was at the game. Place was absolutely rocking. And I won't call this the biggest start of Aaron Nola's career because he pitched in the World Series. He's pitched in big games in the DS and the CS last year. But for many reasons, money included, this was an absolutely massive start for Nola. And he found a way to be even better than his teammate Zach Wheeler was the night before. Knowles goes 7 innings, no runs, 3 hits, only 3 Ks, and a walk, but picks up the W. Nola was really good, I thought, at trusting his stuff and pitching to contact on Wednesday night, something he often doesn't do or doesn't prefer to do. He really likes to, you know, work the pitches and work his pitches and, you know, go for those strikeouts. But he was kind of letting his defense play for him. He got a couple huge double plays in that game. And look, the blueprint for this team is simply Wheeler and Nola have to be great for them to get back to the World Series. They were great last year. It was a big part of them getting to that goal. And it's going to be the same thing for them again. I know Aaron Nola has not had the year we were all hoping he would have, but he has a chance to rewrite his story in this postseason. And he got off to an awesome start by giving 7 great innings of work the other night. So that was great to see. And the other big story from this game, we heard it in the open of this show, the big blow from Bryson Stott. That was an absolutely electric moment. But we'll go back a little bit. Phils go up 2-0 early on. On RBI hits from Schwarber and Turner. And then JT Realmuto comes through an inning later with an absolute rocket home run in the fourth inning off our old friend David Robertson. You know, David Robertson's led up a couple big homers to the Phils this year. This JT one, as well as the Nick Castellanos ninth inning bomb earlier in the summer. So, you know, David Robertson really earning that 2022 National League Championship ring here. But again, Bryson Stott, sixth inning, crowd going absolutely insane, singing his walk-up song, comes up huge and puts this thing on ice, an absolutely electrifying grand slam. The second in Phils postseason history, the only other being Victorino in Game 2 of the 08 Division Series. We all know it well, against CC Sabathia. And the Phils celebrate a series-clinching win, and a comfortable one at that, with a final of 7-1, champagne flowing once again in the clubhouse. Again, these celebrations just don't get old, man. Garrett Stubbs, the celebration MVP, he's got my vote, as always. He's so electric. Just watching him, Marsh, Boehm, all these guys in the locker room, they know how to have a good time, man, and they're hoping they have a lot more of them coming up in the rest of this postseason. So that was a quick Marlins recap for you, but let's get to the series. Phils, Braves, the one I think a lot of baseball fans were really hoping they would get, and we've got it in the NLDS for the second year in a row. Just tremendous for the sport in terms of marketability, players, personalities involved. It's exactly what you want as a baseball fan. You have superstars, you have rivalries. It's just great for the sport. And the way these teams are trending, you know, the Phils are obviously riding a ton of momentum going in, and Atlanta's been sitting for a week, truly haven't played meaningful baseball in a month. I think this is anyone's series. I really do. And the Phils have competed with the Braves really well this year, despite losing the season series. They lost 3 of 4 at home in September, but all those games were coin flips, including a couple extra inning games, the one where Bryce Harper, on the last strike, gets the homer off Raisel Iglesias, who he really owns. He has tremendous numbers against him over his career, a bunch of homers. And then the Phils take 2 of 3 in Atlanta in a massive series just a week later. So, and they were playing all their stars. I know they had clinched, but they were playing their guys. So I thought the Phils looked very good in that series, and I think they're going to look good here. I think that this is a very evenly matched series, and I think that both these teams are really looking to prove something here, and I think that this is just going to be, from a baseball fan perspective, pure entertainment. But so let's get into a little preview here. Game one, going to be 6:07 on Saturday evening. They haven't officially announced the starters yet, but the probable starters is going to be Ranger Suarez against our old friend Spencer Strider. To me, it feels like the pressure is totally on Atlanta in this game. This might sound crazy, but I think this could be a must-win for Atlanta because they got their best guy, their Cy Young candidate, going against the Phillies' number three starter. And a win for the Phils would be similar to, I think, how the Diamondbacks could beat Corbin Burns and the Brewers in game one of that wild card series. You know, the Diamondbacks had Brandon Fought on the mound, a young rookie who, you know, has looked good at times this year, but, you know, wouldn't be your ideal game one starter because the Diamondbacks were competing in the last week of the season, so they had to throw him out there because Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly were not on full rest. So they had to do that, and then they pull out that game against Corbin Burns, who they hit around a little bit. And then to me, after that, it was over, and they end up sweeping them as well. All four wild card series are sweeps, which, you know, I was not totally expecting, but that's what ends up happening. So I think the pressure is really on Atlanta here because if they lose, again, they're going to have shades of last year plus the unknown with Max Fried's blister as he is the probable game two starter. So I think it's really important for Atlanta to win this game. And if the Phils steal it, they are in a really, really good position there. So we'll see what happens with that. So the Braves, one thing with them, they've crushed left-handed pitching this year. And obviously Ranger Suarez being the lefty goes in game one. But I think a big key for Ranger in this game will be the use of the changeup because the Braves, we know they're great against lefties. We know they're a great fastball hitting team. But one pitch that sometimes gives them, you know, a little bit of fits is the changeup. And we know that when Ranger is at his best, he is utilizing the changeup. And if he has it going well, I think he has a chance to really succeed in this game. I know last year he, you know, ended up minimizing the damage, but he let up a lot of base runners. So it's tough to do that against the Atlanta Braves and not pay for it. So if he can command that changeup and can work in the fastball as well as his curve, I think that he has a real chance to, you know, have a decent outing against the Atlanta Braves. But so we will likely see the lineup changed in that game. I would think back to Harper in the 3-hole, Stott in the 5-hole, JT moved back to 6. We should also see Brandon Marsh back in left field for Christian Pache, who I think did a really good job in that wild card series. But against the right-handed pitcher, I would expect Brandon Marsh to be back out there. And I look for him to make an impact in this wild card series because I'll say this about Brandon Marsh. I think he kind of exemplifies how close-knit and how, you know, tight this team is because he didn't start either game in this wild card series. And he was brought here last year to be the team's starting center fielder for the foreseeable future. And to no fault of his own, Rojas and Pache have come on here and they've really, you know, started to play well against left-handed pitching. But I'll say with Brandon Marsh, he's been on the top step of the dugout the entire time, going nuts for his teammates every chance he can get. When you know deep down, he's dying to get out there and make an impact for his team. So Brandon Marsh, I will say, just one of those guys, one of those culture guys that's kind of made this Phillies group so lovable and just, you know, so tight-knit and what seems like just a really great group. So that is a little game one for you. And then game two will be on Monday, 6:07. It'll likely be Zach Wheeler against Max Fried. We'll see, again, what Max Fried is like with that blister he's been struggling with. I know in their inner squad game, they played to get ready because, you know, they said they wanted to get some reps in this year because last year they kind of learned their lesson with sitting. Max Fried pitched for them, and he had to wear a Band-Aid on his finger. You're not allowed to do that in a game setting, so he will not be able to do that then. But I know he got touched up a little by the Braves, and it was by some of their guys who will not be playing in the series. So whatever that may mean, Max Fried will likely be out there. But if the Phils lose game one, I will say to Spencer Strider, this is a game you have to win. You really cannot be going down 2-0 going back to CBP. It's really interesting scheduling-wise. There's an off day here in between game one and game two. I guess, yeah, good if you're an Eagles fan, good for Eagles purposes because you got the Phils Saturday, Eagles Sunday, then Phil's on Monday. Definitely will be entertaining for sure. But yeah, it's weird that that's the setting this year. I feel like it's typically not like that. So, you know, you can look at it in a couple of ways, both good and bad, I think. The good is you go with the three-man rotation. Everyone gets the rest. You get Wheeler pitching twice. But I think the bad thing with that is typically Zach Wheeler has actually not been good off the extra rest. He prefers to make his starts regularly every 5 days. So, and again, I trust Wheeler. I know that that's been a theme when he's had extra rest before, but I do expect him in a big game setting to be able to lock things down despite the extra day. So we'll see with that. But I assume then they'll go back to the wild card lineup with Pache in left, Harper in the four hole, JT batting fifth in that game against Max Fried, the lefty. So the big story, though, is going to be all about Fried's effectiveness with that blister. So that'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. And then they return to Philadelphia. They will return to Citizens Bank Park, where the crowd will be going absolutely nuts like they were in the wild card round. It'll be a crazy atmosphere for sure. It'll likely be Aaron Nola. And for the Braves, it could be a couple of options here. They could go with Bryce Elder, who had a decent year for them, but I thought kind of tailed off towards the end of the year. And even when he was kind of going well in the beginning of the year, a lot of batted ball luck and just stuff going his way. So I wouldn't be shocked if they went with a potential Kyle Wright, A.J. Smith-Shawver piggyback there. So that could be something to monitor as well. But I like that matchup for the Phils. I really do. And that's why if you come back to Citizens Bank Park 1-1, you have a real opportunity to be able to go up in a series and get a potential closeout game at CBP like last year. Either way, the Phils will have a pitching advantage here, which why winning a game in Atlanta will be so crucial and I think is a necessity if they're going to win this series. So that will be something to watch. This is just going to be so exciting, man. We're getting deeper into October and the Phils are going to be playing the Atlanta Braves. And I got to say, just the way the city is responding to this team and everything that they've done this year, I think it's been even more exciting than last year. I think that everyone kind of got a taste of what it was like in 2022. And now that, you know, they are the defending National League champions and the Atlanta Braves come in with 100 some wins and are able to, you know, are the most dominant team in baseball this year, it's just going to set up for a really exciting theater. And again, just so much great marketability for baseball just in terms of the stars. You got Bryce Harper, Ronald Acuna, Acuna's going to win the MVP, and Harper being a former MVP. Spencer Strider, we know what happened in the postseason last year with him coming in a little injured and then getting rocked by Rhys Hoskins for that three-run home run. So Spencer Strider certainly has revenge on his mind in game one. So it's going to be great, man. It's really going to be fun. And it's just postseason baseball is the best. There's really nothing like it. And this is where guys, you'll become legends in cities. And this is a team that is looking to win a world championship this year in the Phils. One interesting thing that I did want to bring up, though, as well, is Rob Thomson's bullpen management throughout the wild card series. I just wanted to kind of see how he would manage it because he talked about it being a closer by committee type of bullpen. And Craig Kimbrell did come out for the save in game one. And I thought, again, he pushed all the right buttons with the bullpen, bringing in Alvarado in that big spot when Wheeler needed one more out in the seventh inning. And then in the eighth inning comes Hoffman for one big out. And then Kimbrell coming in for the save. Again, Craig Kimbrell, as much as he's had success in his career and closing out games, and he's in the 400 save club and has a ton of postseason experience, he scares the hell out of me, man. He really does. And I'm really hoping we don't have a Craig Kimbrell like devastating postseason moment. I'm honestly dreading it. So we will see about that there. But again, Ryan Kirkring, we see him in the second game. That was awesome. Gregory Soto, I know he let up a run there in the ninth inning, but I think he can be really effective against lefties in a spot where you might need him in this Braves series. I could see him getting a potential situation against Matt Olson where you need a lefty to get him out because we know the pop in Matt Olson's bat. So that'll be something to look out for as well. But I thought it was really good management of the bullpen by Rob Thomson. And before we get out of here, I want to give my prediction on the series. It's going to be really tough, man. I got to say, both teams are just matchup nightmares for each other. The Phils obviously are one of the few teams, I think, in baseball that can compete with the Braves in a playoff series. Same goes for the Braves against the Phillies. It's going to be very tough on the Phils. Not an ideal NLDS matchup for either. But if I'm going to pick one, I'm going Phillies in four. I think that if the Phillies manage to split the first two games in Atlanta, whether they win game one or game two, I think that they have the significant pitching advantage in game three. And I simply do not see them losing a closeout game in game four at Citizens Bank Park, much like last year, because we know that once the fans get on you, and if that Spencer Strider pitching at CBP in game four, you know, we heard his quote about the fans and him not wanting them there. They're going to make sure he hears it, because trust me, it is going to be absolutely rocking in that place, much like the wild card series, if not more. So my official prediction is Phillies in four. It's not going to be easy, but I think the Phils will get it done. This team just has that special feeling, and I truly believe that they will get back to the National League Championship Series for the second time in 2 years. The other series going on in baseball, we'll cover those real quick as well. Diamondbacks and Dodgers. That's going to be an interesting one, because the Diamondbacks looked really good against Milwaukee. I got to say, I think the Phillies may have dodged a bullet there, playing the Marlins instead of the Diamondbacks, because the Diamondbacks lineup is pretty potent. And I know they have their two dominant starters in Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly. And look, they didn't even need to use Merrill Kelly. They were able to go into Milwaukee, take two from the Brewers. And look, that's going to be the winner of this series, or the winner of this series is going to be playing the winner of that one. So it's going to be something to watch for sure. In the American League, you have the Orioles and the Rangers. The Orioles making their first postseason appearance in about a decade. That's going to be really cool to see Camden Yards, a packed out house there. And look, the Rangers give me some 2022 Phillies vibes here. They kind of stumbled heading towards the end of the year. They end up losing the division on the last day to the Houston Astros. But I will say, when they're going, their lineup is really potent, and they have some guys that can, you know, drive the ball and hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if they can get their pitching straight, and they did against the Rays, they flat out dominated them, they could be a team that I think could make a run there in the American League and potentially get to the Fall Classic. So we'll see about that. And then the last series is Astros Twins. And look, the Houston Astros in October, I'm not going to doubt them. So I would expect the Astros to win that one. But I will say the Twins two-headed monster of Sonny Gray and Pablo Lopez has been kind of key for them this year. And look, people were saying at the beginning of the year that the Marlins Twins trade of Pablo Lopez for Arraez was kind of lopsided in favor of the Marlins, but I think it's really helped both teams out. The Twins really needed that, you know, rotational piece that was kind of going to be a staple for them, and the Marlins needed some more hitting, and I think both of them have kind of gotten what they were looking for out of those trades. So that is the series going on in Major League Baseball. Well, that'll wrap it up for the latest edition of Phillies Today. Let's have ourselves a weekend. Phils playoffs, some Eagles sprinkled in. It should be really, really fun. And this is just such a fun time if you're a sports fan. It truly is. So I will be locked in on all of that. But this has been Justin Morgenstein for Phillies Today, and we will talk next week.